from Harlem in New York City. It's time for me, Alex, and this is The Ramble. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Larry Bubbles Brown out in San Francisco, California, my old hometown.
Which you need to visit.
Which we need to visit. I keep telling Marjorie, let's just get in a plane and go, because we have friends out there. Buddy Love, you know Buddy.
Yeah.
They're willing to let us stay at their place. And then he said, we'll drive you wherever you want to go, whether even if you have to go to Marin County to see your business manager, we'll take you there. And, you know, I figured, well, take me to Larry Brown's. Where does he live? I don't exactly have the address. Okay. But anyway, I just, you know, I want to go out there and just, you know, if nothing more, to see you.
Really?
Wow. I haven't seen you in so long, and yet through all these conversations that we do every couple of weeks, but they play off every week. You know, I've gotten to really know you better than a lot of people I've known. Yeah. So,
well, who else do you know out here?
Who do I know out there?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I know, of course, Will Durst, and I know Buddy Love.
Okay, Will, that would be a good one to visit.
Yeah, I would like to visit him while I'm here. He's still in the hospital, I imagine.
Yes.
You know, I mean, is he ever going to get out? That's the question, you know? I should call him. I've been meaning to call him, but every time I call him, he doesn't answer. So, you know, then I lose my desire. But he's been in the hospital almost 5 years, I think.
Since October of 1919.
Well, there we go. That's 5 years.
Five and a half, yeah.
5.5 years. Jeez. You know, always felt bad about Will, you know. One of the nicer guys in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't deserve this, you know, but... You know, it happens, but strokes are weird. People get strokes. I know several people who've had strokes, and some of them are completely recovered. You wouldn't even know they had a stroke, and others are still vegetable. I mean, like Will. Will has yet to be able to get the power to walk, you know.
Yeah.
So it gets, you know, it's a pretty terrible thing. And especially if you're a comedian and you're a stand-up and your timing is important, you know, to suddenly have a stroke just in 1 second just drags it out of you, you know. Terrible. Terrible.
Somebody, I would like to avoid that.
But yeah, well, you know, I don't know if you're going to get anything. I think one day you'll just drop dead. That's it. You know.
Well, I guess that's the way to go.
You know, I mean, what's the worst thing? You've got a kidney stone, you know.
Uh-huh.
You've got a hernia.
Hernia.
Yeah. And you haven't gotten any of the cancers yet.
Not yet, but that's something you always worry about.
I've gotten two of them. I went to my my every 6 month visit with my guy who's looking at my leukemia, and great doctor. I love him. I absolutely love him. But you know, I said to him, you've been checking me and looking for symptoms, and I haven't had symptoms yet. So do I have leukemia? He says you have CLL. Which is chronic lymphatic leukemia, which is not the normal leukemia. This is the one you want to get if you're going to get a leukemia, and you probably get it as you get older, all right? But he said, as long as you don't have symptoms, you're fine. You're doing just fine. You know, your blood work is not that bad or anything else, and, you know, we'll just see you in another 6 months. So, and then I had the prostate cancer, but they took care of that. They got that sucker out of there as fast as they saw it, you know. And consequently, so far, knock on wood, I am okay, you know. So,
and you sound strong.
So. I wish I were, but thank you very much.
Well, a lot of people, as they get their voices really change as they get older. Yours hasn't.
Yeah, mine stays kind of the same. It's a little lower, I think. It's a little lower. You know, I have to clear my throat now and then, you know, to get rid of the phlegm. But anyway, isn't phlegm a funny word?
That's a great word.
I mean, it's spelled, but not like it sounds.
Spelled funny, it sounds funny.
It's spelled phlegm. Yeah. But anyway, so you have more questions to ask me about famous movie stars and stuff.
Yes. I got a list here. And he died fairly young. And he was on the very first Letterman show that I got bumped. He was on, Yves Montand.
Oh, Yves Montand was a British actor. Did he die young?
70.
Well, that's, you know, that's getting into that range, you know. But how old are you now?
72. So.
Yeah, so you look at 70 and go, how young?
Yeah, there you go.
somebody dies at like 90 and I go, he was that young? You know, so. But he was a French actor, and he had pretty much of a decent American career. They brought him over here, and he appeared in films for a while, romantic leads. I think there was a film he did with Marilyn Monroe. I can't remember the name of it now. And he was, he was a fairly big star for a while. None of you out there listening right now probably remember Yves Montand, but the old fart Alex does. So.
Well, here's a name I've never heard of. He died in 1955 at the age of 52. Bora Minovich?
Bora Minovich was a musician, I believe, wasn't he?
Okay. I've never heard the name.
Am I right so far?
I just had the name the day he died.
Oh, okay. Bora Minovich, I believe, was with a group called the Harmonicats. I may be right, I may be wrong, but somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
But you've heard the name. See, I've never heard that
but
name
I remember
at all.
Him as a musician. I could look it up here. What's his name again?
Bora Minovich.
Bora. I don't know how you would spell Bora.
B-O-R-R-A-H.
Come on, I'm having troubles here because it affected my recording here. Bora Minovich. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Bora. How's the last name spelled?
M-I-N-N-E-V.
M-I-N-N.
Bora.
How's the Bora spelled?
B-O-R-R-A-H.
R-R-R-A-H. Okay, well, I'm home a second. I got to get it here. There we go. Bora. Okay, give me his last name. M-I-N-N.
E-V.
E-V.
I-V. T-C-H.
I-V.
T-C-H.
T-C-H?
T-C-H.
O-T. C-H. Bora Minovich. Okay. There we go. Here he is. And here it is. Leader of Russian-American harmonica player. Hey, I hit it out.
See, you were right.
I hit it out of the park. Comic entertainer, entrepreneur, and, leader of the Harmonica Rascals.
See, you knew that.
Well, I said the Harmonicats. That was another group.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But I believe, who was the midget that played in that? There was a midget. I'm trying to remember his name now. He appeared in movies, too. And he would come out and start playing a big harmonica, this midget, you know. But anyway, that was the Harmonica Rascals. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. God, I'm so.
You're a genius.
Well, I had the wrong group, okay? I had the wrong group. But I had the right guy. So go ahead. Anyway.
Okay. How about Maria Montez?
Oh, boy. This is a little hard. I know I know the name. She was an actress, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Maria Montez. Well, I can look it up here if you want me to.
She died very young.
Maria Montez. Maria Montez. Oh, there she is. Dominican actress. Okay, and she was in pictures like Cobra Woman, White Savage. I mean, you can tell the kind of film she did.
Okay.
Arabian Nights.
It sounds sexy.
Yeah, Sirens of Atlantis. How about Gypsy Wildcat? The Exile. Pirates of Monterey. Okay. It says see more. Oh, even more?
Died really? At 34.
Wow. Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh, too bad. Well, she had a good little career going for her, so better career than you and I have had.
Yeah, and in half our time.
You know, I've never been in Gypsy Wildcat. You know, so. Boy, you're giving me some tough names today. But I mean, I did know Maria Montez. I just didn't know what she did. I couldn't see the face.
Okay, how about this guy? I know this guy, and I know one film that he did. Died at 37, Sal Mineo.
Oh, Sal Mineo, of course, was, well, you know.
Rebel Without a Cause.
Rebel Without a Cause. And
that's all I know of
him. Did the Gene Krupa story, did a lot of things. He was gay, and he was... I think he was killed.
He was
by a couple of gay guys who, you know, it was something with him being gay that got him killed. You know.
Okay.
So I mean, Sal Mineo is, you know, he did a lot. He was around. He was a good actor too.
Okay. I've heard this guy's name before. Died the year you were born. Tom Mix.
Oh, Tom Mix. One of my favorites. Tom Mix. Here's how I remember Tom Mix. When I was a kid, there was a radio show called Tom Mix. All right? Now, Tom Mix was dead by the time I was born, so how do they do a radio show about Tom Mix? Well, it was Tom Mix starring Curly Bradley. He played Tom Mix. They kept doing radio shows about Tom Mix long after he was dead.
Really?
Yeah. Tom Mix also was a great, basically, silent star who, among other things... He was a movie star, and he, in the silent films, and he did all his own stunts. So he did some amazing stuff. And he had an interesting look to him, and he basically did silent films. I can't even remember. I'm sure there might have been a sound film with him in it if he died in 1939, but I'll be damned if I've ever seen it, you know. But he also... You ready for this? Ready for a piece of trivia for you about okay. Tom Mix? He was one of the pallbearers at Wyatt Earp's funeral in Hollywood.
Wow.
And according to legend, he wept. So he cried at the funeral.
that's good knowledge.
That's the last line in Tombstone, the movie. Which Robert Mitchum is doing the narration, says Wyatt Earp lived out a full life and then died in Hollywood, California. At his funeral was included were some of the big Hollywood cowboys, including Tom Mix, who it's reported wept. That's the last line of that movie.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. You see, what happened was, how he wound up in Hollywood was he went to Hollywood and became a consultant on Westerns, silent Westerns, to give them authenticity. So when you see a lot of those old silent Westerns, they're really quite authentic because they weren't that far away from the time that they take place.
Right.
So
yeah.
They could get people like Wyatt Earp to be consultants on these films, and make them very authentic. So they were quite authentic. I mean, the way people dressed and so on and so forth. Because of that, he lived in Hollywood. He got to know these guys. He never appeared, I think, in any films. But Tom Mix was a friend of Wyatt Earp's. What can I say? Yeah. Okay. Next.
Here's two people that died at the age of 70.
By the way, did I just supply you with more information than you needed?
I was shocked at the information you had on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's two people. They both died at the age of 70. I thought they were both like severely older than me. But the first, Irene Ryan.
Irene Ryan, of course, was on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Granny, but she looked like she was 112 then.
And she wasn't that old. You know, when she was on the Beverly Hillbillies, I think she was in her 50s.
Okay, because she looked like she was 100.
Yeah. No, she. There are certain people that always played older than they were. There was that woman on the, you know the best one? What's her name? I can't remember her name now. But she played Cary Grant's mother.
Yeah, I know who you mean. Yeah.
I'll remember her name after we're through here, you know. But she played Cary Grant's mother in North by Northwest. And she was 2 years younger than Cary Grant.
Wow.
You know, that's how old some of these women look. So they played the parts old. I mean, Margaret Hamilton, when she played the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz, how old do you think she was?
Well, you thought she'd be in her mid to late 70s.
Yeah. She was 29.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Yeah, she was 29. If you look at her closely, you suddenly realize, oh, yeah, without all that makeup, she probably is 29, but not a pretty 29, you know. But anyway, okay. Next name.
Who also died at 70, Telly Savalas.
Of course. Well, we don't even have to talk about him. We all know him as Kojak. Although, to some of our younger listeners, they probably don't know who he is. So.
To show you how times have changed, he was a big TV star in his 50s when, of course, they wouldn't hire anyone that old now. But.
Well, no, they hire people that old to play parts that old, you know. But, you know, as you get older, you know, as an actor, you got problems. I'll tell you what's great about being old as an actor. You get the good parts. You get the really good parts where you're really being asked to act. I'll tell you, there's this show right now. It's called Mobland. It's on Paramount Plus, which you wouldn't know about because you don't get any of these things.
Right.
But Pierce Brosnan is on that show, and he's spectacular. But he's playing an old crook, an old gangster. And he's just chewing up the scenery. He loves every minute. It seems like every minute of what he's doing. So that's the advantage of getting old as an actor. You're not going to play all those pretty boy roles anymore, so you're going to have to start playing parts that are more interesting, let's say. Okay?
Okay.
So, anyway. Like old actresses, I'm going to tell you, Helen Mirren is the queen of old actresses. I mean,
she still looks bangable.
Well, there's just something about her that anytime she's in a scene, forget anybody else who's there. She is the center of attention. Not because she claims it, but because she's so good, you just watch her, you know. So she's also on that show Mobland with Pierce Brosnan. Tom Hardy is the star of it. But do you know who Tom Hardy is?
No.
See? You don't know who Tom Hardy is. One of the biggest actors in the world. But I'll tell you later.
Pierce Brosnan, did he play James Bond?
Yes, he did.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But, you know, you don't have to act. You have to react. You know, and in Mobland, he has to act. And he is terrific. Just terrific. Another guy who's gotten terrific as he's gotten older and has played a lot of good roles. He was on He was on that show with Helen Mirren called 1923. Is Harrison Ford. He's on a show called Shrinking, where he plays a psychiatrist. And he's terrific.
Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Because I always found him so bland.
I know, but he can really act if he wants to. It's just that he never had to. You know, he just had to, as I say again, react. Always used to claim there are actors and reactors, you know. Do I talk too much, or do you actually enjoy this? You
know? I like it.
I mean, I should be letting you talk and making all the jokes, and you know.
No, I like to hear you dig up these obscure personalities and know shit about them. It's hilarious.
Well, so far you haven't. I mean, Boraminovich is probably the most.
That was the most obscure thing. I'd never heard that name at all.
Yeah, yeah. But I knew him. I just couldn't exactly place him, but I did place him as a musician and then a harmonica player. Yeah. God, I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's I like the name is funny. Charles Ruggles.
Charles Ruggles is an actor who played always played old people. I'm trying to think of some films he was in, but Charlie Ruggles, I think he was on television, and I remember Mama, but I may be wrong about that, an early television show. But Charlie Ruggles was one of those, yeoman character actors who could always be called upon to do a good job when you hired him, you know. But he wasn't a big star, okay. But then again, I don't think he cared. I think a lot of these guys who were character actors made more money than the stars did because the stars had a shelf life of maybe 5-10 years. And these guys went on forever.
Yeah, the character actors are always more interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, who else have you got? We got a couple of
I know this guy. I always found he always looked like he was pissed off. John Payne.
Oh, I can see the face. But I can't name a film that he was in. He was one of those actors who comes and goes, you know, that you don't. He's there. He's part of the landscape. You pay attention to him. But you don't say, I got to go see it. Oh, this is movie. John Payne's in this movie. We've got to watch it. You never hear that. You know.
He didn't have a draw.
some of these actors just, you know, they got it. They got into a studio. They got a contract with the studio. They maybe played out their 7-year contract with the studio. And then after that was over with, their career was pretty much gone. And John Payne, I think, was that kind of actor. I mean, if you look him up on IMDb, you'll see a whole list of pictures he was in. But, you know, he just, nobody ever says, let's do a John Payne movie festival. You know. No. Anyway, okay, we got time for a few more.
Okay, how about Died at 60, Peter Lorre, who I remember from one of our favorite movies, the Maltese Falcon.
Yeah, well, I remember him before that. He was in a film in Germany that made him a star called M, in which he played a child molester. And he was, I got to tell you, he was magnificent in that, even though I didn't understand a word of what he was saying because it was in German. But there were subtitles.
They did a movie about that back then?
I'm trying to remember. Was it a silent film? No, I think it was the first speaking German film, but I may be wrong about that. This was about a child molester who the police are trying to catch and find.
Wow.
You know, but the underworld in Berlin catches up with him first and puts him on trial themselves. And then eventually I think they kill him at the end. But then he came to the United States and he became, I mean, he lasted a long time. He was in everything. There's a good example of a character actor who just kept working. Yeah. Good for him. Yeah,
wow.
I always liked Peter Lorre. I always thought he was fun. Yeah, I used to be able to do an imitation of him. There we go. That sounded like him, didn't it?
It reminds me of Rob Schneider.
Reminds you of Rob Schneider? Anyway. Okay, let's try one more. I think. Well, no, actually, we don't have time for one more. Let's do one more and see if I can do it quickly enough.
Okay, Tim Holt.
Tim Holt, of course. He was an actor. He actually started off pretty good in his acting career, having starred in The Magnificent Ambersons with Orson Welles, and then went on to Treasure Sierra Madre. And then he just did a bunch of cheap-ass westerns for the rest of his life, you know. Didn't have much of a career after that. But, boy, he was good. Anyway, did I amaze you today?
You amazed me again.
Okay.
Still can't believe Bora Minovich.
Yeah, well, that was the hard one.
That was the crown, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People are going, God, Alex is old. No, I'll tell you what it is. And we're going to run over a little bit here. But I always, as a kid, was consumed by things that happened before I was born. And so I got to know a lot of these actors. I mean, I wasn't born in the silent era. I was born in the year that Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz came out. And a year before Citizen Kane. So, you know, the fact that I can tell you some names that, like Theda Bara and so on, is because I paid attention to things that happened before I was born. People don't do that today.
No, if it didn't happen when they were alive, it didn't happen.
You're obsessed by stuff that happened before.
Oh, I used to go to the library. And I could go through Britannica's just to, yeah, I love to look at older things.
Yeah, so that's where I come from. It's not because...
See, we both have a sense of history.
It's not because I'm 85, but it has something to do with that. Okay,
yeah.
Anyway. Hey, listen, I love talking to you, Bubbles. I can't tell you how much.
I love going through these old names. This is great.
And I get more reaction to you than anybody I have on. People write me and say, we just love Bubbles.
Yeah. Really? Jeez.
Yeah. And I don't expect you to sit here and do your act for them. You know, I know you're one of the funniest guys I know, but I don't want to put that pressure on you. I never did when you were on the air with me. You know,
I appreciate that.
I just wanted Bubbles to be Bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk to you next week. How's that?
Yeah, I'll find some new names for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Larry the Bubbles Brown. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Now, in its 11th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
And there's Bubbles again. We love Bubbles. As I always say, we love Bubbles. I love Bubbles. I hope you love Bubbles, too. We're going to love Bubbles. You love Bubbles. We'll love Bubbles, too. Okay. A bunch of people are waiting to come on tonight. Jeez. What, to see, talk to little old me? Well, let's see here. Let's admit them all, and let's see them all start coming on here. There they are. There's, yes. We've got a whole bunch of people right now. There we have Jeff.
Hello there.
Okay, you're fine. Yeah, there's no problem tonight, Jeff. Don't worry about it. Kevin, mm-hmm. Who's the invisible man. Wait a minute. Here he comes. Here he comes. Yeah, yeah. And Charlie. How are you, Charlie?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, it still says big guy.
Yeah, Alan told me how to change it, but it didn't work.
Really?
Yeah.
Should
so
change
it. You have to change it again for me.
Okay, well, you know. And hello to Josh, and hello to Alan. Okay. Well, hi there, Alan. How are you?
Good, good. It looks like you are warm in your apartment because your shirt is all unbuttoned. Alex?
This shirt is always unbuttoned.
Oh, okay.
Don't you pay attention to this show at all?
No. Who does?
Obviously, they do. Don't you guys see me wear this shirt occasionally? I like it. I like it as a top shirt. You know. But it is hot in the air today. But I have the air conditioner on, so we'll see what happens. Let me see. I have it set at 71, but it's still kind of cold and all of that. Hello to everybody. A couple of things I want to talk about, one of which is there was a thing on the air the other day. I'm one of the news operations, and, you know, I got to the point now where I say to Marjorie, oh, she's watching MSNBC. I go, oh, you're watching the Trump channel, huh? And she says, no, it's MSNBC. I said, it's got to be the Trump channel. He's on it every time I look at the screen. Okay. But anyway, one of those, they did this whole thing about the fact that they say, and they always have this story, I guess once a year they come up with this one, that by a certain year we're going to run out of money for Social Security. And then they get an expert to come on and explain, how can we solve this problem? Will we go under? And they go, yes, we'll have problems with it. Well, how should we solve the problem? Well, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. And nobody ever says anything about the fact that the easiest solution to Social Security and to keeping it afloat is to simply do away with that yearly cap on the amount of money you pay. Because everybody, when they reach about, it's like $10,000, but I think it's more like $9,000-some-odd, you don't have to pay any more money out of your paycheck towards Social Security for the year. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was making big money, that was about March, okay? Then I didn't pay anything into Social Security. Well, they should do away with that. You should just have to pay a certain amount, percentage of your income, to Social Security, and that's it. And if they do that, Social Security will never run out of money. As a matter of fact, maybe they can lower the age at which you have to collect Social Security to like 60 or 55 if you want it. But no, they never come up with that solution, and I never can figure out why. And, you know, they're always trying to panic us. Well, your Social Security is going to run out, and we're going to be all out of money with Social Security. We won't be if they just don't, you know, cap it out at, like, almost $10,000 a year. You should just keep paying. And you should keep paying, especially if you make a lot of money. If you're like a guy who makes $1 million a year, then you pay even more. You know, but so what? That's how we save it.
And we would never work under this president.
But it isn't a question of working or not working. They want a solution. That's the solution.
Okay.
That's the way we solve it.
I don't think this president would go for it.
Yeah. Well, we don't care what he goes for or doesn't go for it. You know. I mean, he's never going to propose it. Let me put it that way. So somebody's got to propose it. Oh, don't we have somebody called Democrats who could propose it?
Yeah. Oh. Boy, they are sure quiet lately.
Boy, they are a bunch of just, they're ridiculous. Okay. I mean, they're terrible.
Yeah.
Just so, are you disappointed, Josh, with the Democrats?
Yeah, sure. I have something that I got. Like, I could read you something if you want. It would probably only take 45 seconds.
Oh, okay. We have at least 45 seconds left on the show today.
Maybe a minute. I mean, that would demonstrate to you how far the Democratic Party has, in my opinion, fallen.
Mm-hmm.
But in the opinion of everyone else, at least, you know, changed and adapted into issues that are not, have not, that may sometimes be righteous, but have not been winnable at all in the electorate, are not widely supported enough to keep them in power, mm-hmm. and have therefore, in search of this righteousness sometimes, have lost so much power that they've been unable to do any good for some of the people that they've tried to protect, you know? So don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to discount some of the people that they've tried to protect over the years and some of the protections they needed and deserved. But they've not served them well, in my opinion, by taking steps that were at times so radical that they had no power at all. Because with no power, you can't do them any good, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, I can read it to you if you want.
But, read it to me. What is
I
it?
Mean, these are the words, and I won't tell you who said them yet. But it just said, you know, thanks to the work of, I'll leave the name out, we are eliminating 16,000 pages of unnecessary rules and regulations for the federal government, shifting more decision-making out of Washington and back to the states and local communities. Okay, paragraph one. As we move into the era of balanced budgets and smaller government, we should work in new ways to enable people to make the most of their own lives. We're helping American communities, not with bureaucracy, but with more opportunities. Through a successful, I'm going to skip this paragraph and get to the meat of it. Okay, but there are some areas of the federal government that should not leave and should address more. There are some areas the federal government should not leave and should address and address them strongly. One of these areas is the problem of illegal immigration. After years of neglect, this administration has taken a strong stand to stiffen the protection at our borders. We are increasing border controls by 50%. We are increasing inspections to prevent the hiring of illegal immigrants. And tonight, I announce that I will sign an executive order to deny federal contracts to any businesses that hire illegal immigrants. Let me be clear. We are a nation of immigrants. We should be proud of it. We should honor every legal immigrant here, working hard to be a good citizen, working hard to become a new citizen. But we are also a nation of laws. And it is, I'm going to wrap it up by saying, I want to say a special word now to those who work for our federal government. Today, the federal workforce under this administration is 200,000 employees smaller than it was the day I took office as president. Our federal government today is the smallest it has been in 30 years, and it is getting smaller every day. Now, does that not sound like the kind of stuff that people are asking for now, today, right?
Well, they're asking for it today?
I mean, is not most of that what you hear now from Republicans and from the Trump administration?
But yeah. You're going to surprise us with who that was.
That was the 1996 Bill Clinton State of the Union Address to Congress. January of 1996. And I skipped the part at the very beginning where he touted the fact that he and the Congress were very, very, and I can go up and find it, were very, very close to enacting a welfare reform act that would push people from welfare to work and at the same time provide health care to the children and daycare to the children of the people they were forcing to work to take away any excuse for those people no longer to be able to do so.
Well, if I remember correctly, Bill Clinton was kind of a middle of the roader, yeah. You know.
That's part of my point.
Yeah. Yeah. That was his idea of being middle of the road at the time. I don't think he would agree with what he said back then now.
Well, I don't know. I've heard him in recent interviews still talking about how these things were abandoned by the party, and he feels like that's where he feels like they abandoned much of his principles and leadership, and that is what got them in the spot that they are today. You know, I mean, he is still going around even this week talking about the fact that his administration balanced the budget and ran a budget surplus. Mm-hmm. And immediately after he left, it was abandoned and Democrats jettisoned it just as quickly as Republicans did. You know, so, I mean, I don't think that he's completely abandoned any of that stuff. I think that he's still rather proud of it. I mean, I don't think he's any kind of evolved liberal. I think he has some, liberal principles to him. But, I think my point is the Democratic Party, those were Democratic platforms in 1996. I mean, this was January of 1996, right? So those are now Republican. Not only are they Republican positions, okay, but the Republicans have used them and sold them so well to the American people that they've cashed in and gained full control of the government with those positions.
Yeah,
is my point. You know, I mean, they basically just took, I told you before that you could take his 1992 convention speech, okay, where he accepted the nomination for president, and you could play it, and at least half of it, MAGA would adapt right now, this very minute, and here 4 years after that is his State of the Union address, where again, many of the principles outlined in that speech are things that you hear Trump's people talking about now. But the Democratic Party, as soon as he left, for whatever reason, we can have a long conversation about why they did it, but the fact is, after he left, moved further and further away from those centrist and sensible policies and adopted far more, you know, leftist principles on issues. Again, some of them righteous and some of them to try to help protect people. But in doing so, they lost all ability to protect those people because they have no power to do so. You know, so why did they abandon those principles? And why is it now, if a Democrat were to show up and try to say those very things right there that I just said, that they would not accept the person? So, I mean, for as much blame as goes around right now about how Republicans have abandoned the Reagan era and, you know, they poo-poo upon him now and all, and they do, right? But Democrats change just as much, right? I mean, you know, that party has its own evolution led to some of these problems.
Let me say I'm sorry that I am so stupid a voter that I didn't see that, okay? Because I don't remember that as being the party politic at the time. But then again, at that point, I wasn't that interested in politics either. Right. You know, I was kind of like trying to survive and do a lot of other things. But I always felt about Bill Clinton, I was just, you know, I felt he was a Democrat, so okay, I'm glad he's in office, you know. And I don't know that all the things that he said he accomplished in that speech or in that, is that a speech or is that a...
That's a State of the Union address.
A State of the Union address.
Some of it was proposals and some of it was, you know, accomplishments. I think, you know, we could break it down, but it's still, it's his words. That's what he was calling for to happen. And it was at the height of his popularity in 1996, and a lot of it did happen.
See, I mean, never paid
at the time he gave that speech. Yeah. He was an incredibly popular president.
Yeah. Yes, Jeff.
I remember him to being a pretty Republican type Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a very conservative Democrat to me.
Yeah, very conservative.
I think Bill Clinton would have done anything it took to get elected.
That's probably true, too.
And while I would consider a lot of people in politics whores, he certainly was one of the bigger ones. Yes, Charlie?
Yeah, and Clinton, when he reduced the federal workforce by 200,000, he did it strategically. Not like, I mean, yeah. I doubt that Trump has reduced it 200,000, but he's destroyed the government doing it.
What? He did it with a scalpel, not a chopping.
But that's my point, is Democrats could have ran on those issues and sold them to the American people. They could have won, and then they could have accomplished those tasks, but they could have done them in ways that didn't threaten to destroy the country.
If they had done that, wouldn't they have cut Trump off at the knees?
Well, yeah, that's been my point for a long time.
Yeah, because he would then have he'd have to go in a different direction in order to, you know, get voters.
Right. I mean, that's been my point the whole time. You know, is I've said before that Lyndon Johnson understood where the country was going with civil rights and things like that, and he understood that it was his party that it was holding it back, and that he would just basically ignore the party, and he would be the guy who would go out and do it. And that's how he gained popularity and got elected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I've told you this term before, you know, where he said, you know, all out Lincoln, you know. You know, and I've said before, the Democrats need to find a Democrat to out Clinton.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, to just, you know, I mean, I support all, you know, a lot of that stuff. I mean, I don't have a problem with them wanting people to walk across the border in the rear guard. I don't have a problem with that. You know, the problem is the Republicans have turned that into a clown show. You know, but I don't have a problem with a Democrat saying, hey, this is a border to our country. Maybe we should hire some guys to, you know, drive up and down it and look for people crossing it, you know. And we want them to cross legally, fine. Then let's go make the things possible to do that. Let's actually make a gate and a door.
Do you think that in his day, Clinton would have created something like, I don't think ICE even existed back then, but would have allowed something like ICE to do what it's doing now? Which is
No, probably not. No, they wouldn't have turned it into this clown show that it is now. I mean,
remember, it used to be just the immigration department, and you yell immigrations and they all scatter. Immigration, that was a big deal.
Yeah,
back then. Now this is ICE. It's same thing, different name, really.
Right,
but they're
being
a little bit more aggressive because it's gotten out of hand.
I mean, I know that the Democratic Party is going through their thing right now with what they want to do and all that. And, I mean, to me, that's the way. Now, they're probably going to adopt a different way. And there are a lot of people who think that it works. There are a lot of Democrats out there who think they should not do anything near what I just said. They should not only go left, they should go way left. And they should just go so left that everyone will just love it when they figure it out. And it'll be, I mean, we'll see. Go ahead and try it if you want.
That's what I think they've been trying to do, and they continue to fail. They keep going left, and their rights are going right. And it's creating this huge gap in the middle.
Is there any place in the middle that would be accepted by the vast majority of people in this country?
Well, the Independent Party is getting bigger and bigger just because of this shit.
But not big enough to have a...
No,
a,
that's the problem.
You know.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I've always wanted a third party. I don't care.
I want a third and fourth party. As many parties as it takes to make this a real democracy. You know.
Right.
I mean, to me, if they want to go radical, there are radical things they could have done that would have, you know, out-Trumped Trump. You know, I mean, I've said before, I mean, that I would like to know what would have happened if as soon as Kamala Harris got in the race, she would have said, you know what, the two things I'm going to do are this. Number one, I'm going to beat Trump, and as soon as I beat him, I'm going to pardon him. He's going to go away, and we're going to forget he ever existed. The second thing I'm going to do is close the border for 90 days. I'm going to put Congress in a special session. They're not going to fucking recess until they get an immigration bill done and they fix the issue at the border. Those are the two things we're going to do first. I got a lot of other stuff, but that's number one and number two, and we're not stopping.
Yeah, but here's what she did wrong. Here's what she did wrong. She went on The View. And when they asked her, would you have changed anything that Biden had done, she said, no.
Wrong answer. I agree with that. But I'm just saying.
No, wait a minute. I think that lost her a lot of votes.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that people went, what? You can't find anything that Biden did wrong? And what she could have easily done, and he would have been happy with her doing it just in order to win, was that, well, you know, the border. He didn't handle the border very well. I think we could have handled that better. I think if I'm elected, I will make sure that that whole policy changes, you know? And it would have helped her a great deal, you know? But she wasn't willing to give in to anything that Trump might be for.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I'm saying is I would like to know what maybe would have happened if those two things had been a part of the campaign. But my point is there are so many people who heard me say that just now who are like, oh, no, I could never accept that. Pardon Trump, close the border. That's crazy. Okay. So the alternative then is Trump got reelected and we are where we are today. So now what you know now, which of the two options would you rather have?
I don't think Trump would have gotten elected the first time if we hadn't pardoned Richard Nixon.
It's possible, but...
Let me bring up something here.
But we are where we are.
Let me bring up something here. Who would you say are the two biggest left-wingers in the country, liberals that are Democrats.
Bernie Sanders, I would say AOC.
And you got him right. You got him absolutely right.
I like Bernie. Yeah.
You like Bernie? Do you like the fact that he's interfering in our mayoral race here in New York?
What did he do? I didn't hear anything.
Oh, he's come out from Mondavi. Mondavi, whoever that guy is. Yeah.
And so I think AOC is back.
And so AOC.
Yeah.
Now, tonight I see an ad on television. And I went, the first person to do this, I'm definitely not voting for. The ad saying, look at Cuomo and all the sexual allegations against him. And who do you think did the ad? It was Mondavi, or whatever his name is.
I can't get the guy's name.
It doesn't matter.
I didn't know who he was.
You're not going to have to memorize it anyway.
He's not going to learn right now.
You know, the point is that what bothered me about that was I waited for the first person who was going to pull out that dirty, you know, that dirty ploy. Because there you had a guy with Cuomo who, in fact, was found to be not guilty of all those charges and was never eventually charged with any of them. And not because he had already quit office, so he didn't have power or anything like that. They just looked at the thing and they said, there's nothing, there's no there. Okay, I was waiting for the first person to use that as a ploy to win the mayoral race. And when I see that Bernie Sanders is backing him and AOC, I'm going, what kind of fucking left-wingers are they? You know?
Why are U.S. senators and congresspeople interfering in the New York
election? Well, in the case of AOC, she lives in New York. She represents New York City, and she should. Okay? But Bernie, shut the fuck up, Bernie.
He's in Vermont. I'm surprised.
Yeah. No, you just, it's our deal down here, and why should I care what you think about what's happening in, about who you would vote for if you were in New York, but you're not, you live in Vermont. You're too much of a coward to live in New York because they would have never elected you. You know, I mean, it really gets me pissed off. And I like Bernie. I have liked Bernie.
I do like him. I didn't know he did that.
But you know, interfering in what is not his, what can I call it? His
campaign.
Yeah. It's just not right. Just not right. You know.
Well, it's kind of like that tour he did, running around the country with AOC and talking shit about Trump. Yeah, I get it. It's almost like he's on a final tour. He's going around. He's getting his nose into everything. And then all of a sudden he's going to disappear.
Well, so what if you get a whole bunch of people to show up for you? That doesn't mean they like you.
That's all it is. It's just a rally with a bunch of people. I mean,
yeah.
And he can speak his mind and then AOC can get up there and go, yeah. But in the end, that's all he's doing.
He's not affecting anything.
No.
He's not changing anything.
They'll all stand there and go, rah, 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 but, you know, there's no independent party that's going to take on either one of the other two parties. So
the question there
really
is,
it doesn't matter at this point.
What?
I don't know, you know, my question there is, and I don't know if it's right or if it's not. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying my question is, are the people at those rallies, or a decent number of them, who are excited about the things they had to say, are those people that voted for Bill Clinton and then later voted for Donald Trump? I doubt it.
I would say they're mostly young people. Yeah.
Right. I mean, not just because of their age, but I'm saying I don't think that – I think there's a lot of people there who like him and like what they had to say who already like them. But those are not the people in a national election, okay, that will swing the election. Those are the people they need to be – or the next Democratic – party, the next Democratic nominees need to be reaching, and I don't know if those are the people at those rallies. I doubt it, you know, because like I said, I had a parent who voted for Bill Clinton twice with a smile on their face and were glad to do so, and now think that Donald Trump should probably be our king. And I think we need to look at the evolution of how did people go from that back. You know, because that is a massive block of people in this country that vote. You can count on them to vote. They're not maybe voters like the 19-year-olds and all that. Now, people like my parents, they vote. right? You know, mm-hmm. So what made the Democratic Party reach those people in 1996? And by 2016, they are 24/7 Fox Newsers who think that the Democratic Party is going to literally knock the earth off its axis. Mm-hmm. How did that, what happened there? What's the evolution there? Until the Democratic Party looks itself in the mirror and answers that question, I don't know. I mean, because I don't, my parents might be gone for forever, but I don't think that all those people are gone for forever. And a lot of people like them who are close to them but not quite that far are gone. I mean, you know, so what's, or even if that.
Okay, yeah, but wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let's
not look, enough.
Let's
That's
look
a,
at some of the.
Part of
let's look at the certain blocks that voted for Trump, okay? Mm-hmm. First of all, you had the Latinos. Mm-hmm. The Latino yeah. vote went for Trump. Why? Are they idiots? Are they goddamn idiots?
That's my point. They should be looking at that. I heard on the radio on Michael Smirkanish's program 2 or 3 days ago.
Well, he's an idiot.
That there, but the what he read is still accurate. In that particular voting block, a 40-point swing. Democrats wow. used to control that, okay, by almost 10%. Trump now controls that voting block by 30%.
I understand that part of that block, which is Cuban, voting for Trump. Okay, that I mm-hmm. understand. The Cubans have always been right-wingers. Okay? Mm-hmm. But you've also got, among the Latino voters, Mexicans and everybody.
That's the big changes.
Yeah, and I don't... Are they looking at themselves today and saying, we made a good call? Or are they saying, we really screwed up? Yes, Tony?
Unless they want 20% of their family deported because they're here illegally. I'm just joking.
Yeah, yeah.
Get them out. Let's vote Trump and you're out.
Yeah. Well, this one lady was a big Trumpster. Her husband got arrested and is going to get shipped out of the country.
There you go. How do you get rid
did
of
they
that?
Ask her did they ask her what she felt about Trump now?
Oh, she's crying her eyes out now.
Uh-huh.
How are they so surprised?
But, I mean,
so people are just stupid.
They have serious problems.
I'll tell you what we also have a serious problem with. We have a serious problem with the court system in this country. It depends on where you court shop, okay, as to whether you win your case, okay? Like if you go to California, you go to the Ninth Circuit Court, how liberal is that one? Very liberal. But Trump will sometimes go down to South Carolina somewhere to get a reading on something that one other federal court looked at and have them change their opinion. I mean, we have a situation now where the courts are just not even looking at the Constitution or at the laws as they exist. I mean, it's shameful. It's just shameful. And you got to hand it to Trump. I mean, he's got a lot of these people in his pocket, you know, and he's playing it right. He's just, if he does something and a court tells him not to do it, he just ignores him and says, screw you. You know, so anyway, but I agree with you very much about the fact that the Democrats never knew what was going on. And even if they did, I think they could see what was happening, but they didn't do anything about it.
That's what I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever it is. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, 40-point shift in. You know, Latin. I mean, they've lost white men, you know, at an incredible rate. I mean, it's amazing, you know. I mean, you know, I was listening to a podcast, not a podcast, but some interview the other day with somebody where they said, you know, if you went to the Democratic Party's website, still to this day, they haven't changed it yet, they've got this link on there that says, who do we represent? And it lists like 40 different groups of people that they represent. And what it does not list is men or white men. Men and white men are not listed. It lists women, African Americans. It lists black women specifically. It lists gay, lesbian. But I mean, it lists, you know, trans. It lists all this, but it does not list men, and it does not list white men, as if they don't represent them. You know, to me, it should just say, who do we represent? And they shouldn't have a list. It just say everybody. One word.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. They listed it all out, but nowhere on there, pre-convention, all the way till today, they still haven't changed it. It doesn't say men, and it doesn't say white men. But there is data out there that shows that white men are leaving, have left, and are continuing to leave the Democratic Party as fast as they can run away from it. Because they feel left out and abandoned, you know, by the party, you know.
And if you look at the Republican side, guess what? What do we have?
That's the real way. Right.
White men.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't understand, you know, some of their decision making or whatever, especially when you can go back and I can show you policy initiatives and proposals and legislation that was passed by Democrats, by a Democratic president that was wildly popular, and it's the same exact stuff that Trump and MAGA people are fighting for today. Why weren't Democrats using it?
It's almost like they're silently feeding the division. By doing nothing.
No, I don't. I mean, they're the baseball team that keeps striking out, even though the guy pitching can't throw strikes, but they just keep swinging at stuff. And it's like, are you guys ever going to stop maybe swinging at that pitch that always ends up in the dirt?
If you just take a few, he can't throw a strike.
But you can't wait. I mean, you just can't do it.
Bree is kind of quiet today. Are you in a hotel room somewhere?
I am, yes.
See, I could tell. Those are hotel curtains.
There's no sushi in the room. What's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in UN, the UNESCO World Heritage town called Malacca.
Malacca?
Isn't he the guy that's running in New York? No.
Yeah, let me see here. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
And why are you there? Oh, you were going away for some kind of thing, weren't you?
Not yet. I'm just here for vacation. It's like a weekend vacation.
Do you realize that towns everywhere in the world are starting to look alike?
Yep. Yeah, see, that looks like my area. It's like,
you know, if I said, where is that? And you say, Malaysia, and people go, nah, that isn't Malaysia, is it?
Well,
where are all the bamboo huts?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of in the business district, which those do tend to look the same.
Yeah.
But if I took you down to the heritage zone, then you'd see a lot of difference.
Yeah, so what are you there for?
As I said, it's just a weekend vacation, weekend getaway.
Okay, all right. You go by yourself, or do you take your wife with you?
Yeah, no, I'm just by myself.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Traveling a la Trump, I would imagine, is what I would call it.
Okay.
Without your wife. Oh, boy.
Well, it's there's a lot of Portuguese history here and heritage.
Yeah.
The Portuguese had a fort here.
Yeah.
And they have a Hard Rock Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And they were designated a World Heritage Site in Quebec, Canada, like 1996 or something.
Didn't the Hard Rock Cafes go belly up, though, most places in the world?
Yeah, the 157th Street, I think, went out by us.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. They went out of business in Las Vegas, didn't they?
I think so, yeah. But they still have the hotel, don't they?
I think they have...
No, somebody bought the hotel.
Really?
The Hard Rock Hotel.
Oh, okay.
I think they have a Hard Rock Hotel in the city.
Hard Rock hotels here. There are still Hard Rock hotels.
Well, don't they have one in the shape of a guitar somewhere? I can't remember where.
Yeah, Las Vegas.
That's Vegas.
Yeah,
Vegas.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it seems like you got the windows open. They don't have air conditioning in that hotel room?
Yeah, they do. They do, but it's a very nice breeze right now.
Yeah, it looks like it. So anyway, you know, I mean, I just am just disappointed basically with the Democrats because yep. they, if nothing more, they don't stand up for the principles that I believe they should be standing up for. I mean, you know, and then we turn around and we go AOC and Bernie Sanders. When I asked you for somebody to ask you who were the two most liberal politicians we know out there, and yet they're not acting that way, you know.
Well, I think we may need to bring in more AI. Artificial intelligence may be coming because what social media exposes a lot is that humans are flawed. All of our leaders are flawed. All of our systems are flawed.
So you're saying that AI isn't, so let's elect AI?
No, it's definitely flawed, but it's not human. And I think we're coming to the day and age when we just can't rely on humans anymore.
Well, you know, I mean, human beings are pretty terrible, if you think about it. You know,
just to finish up the Hard Rock Hotel.
Wait a minute. This says, hold on a second. This says Mike is trying to call. So let me turn on my face only. No, this might be Mike. I don't know.
Mike.
Let's see if it is which Mike it might be.
Oh no, it's Tony in the nude.
No. Well, that's not working. So let me just. There we go. There's Mike, and it's not answering. Okay, he's trying to get his. Yeah, well, pal, no one is seeing it right now.
I see it. I'm not going to go to sleep tonight.
Well, you guys have to see it.
Well, that guy's hands were smaller.
Why do they zoom bomb us when you always catch it?
I always catch it. It never goes on, you know. But let me go back to you guys.
They're just hoping that it'll get through, like one day you'll mess up.
Yeah, they're probably hoping. Well, I have in the past. Don't report. Okay, don't report it.
Just to follow up on Hard Rock Cafe, we went to a casino with a guitar in front of it off the strip. That closed 2 years ago, but they bought the Mirage. They're not low on money. They bought the Mirage, and it's going to be transformed into the Hard Rock and open in spring of 2020.
But what's the one with the big guitar? I don't think that's in Vegas. I think that's somewhere else.
They had one in front of the restaurant in front of the Hard Rock Hotel. There was a restaurant.
No, but this is a guitar that has the rooms in it.
Oh, no.
I think maybe it's
in Hollywood.
No, that's not Hollywood. I think it might be. I'm thinking somewhere down south like Atlanta.
North Carolina.
North Carolina or something like that. Yeah. 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 But, you know, they still have.
Either their food sucked. Either way, their food sucked.
I never ate at a Hard Rock Cafe.
I didn't either. But, you know. Probably just regular.
I have a door strap.
Yeah.
How come when these Zoom bombers hit, how come they never hit with beautiful women or anything like that?
Yeah.
Because
we'll leave it on and watch it and the whole show will go to crap.
Yeah, right.
They don't want that to happen.
If you do some women for crying out loud, but this is, in case people don't know what we're seeing here that is causing people's eyes to bleed right now. The guy puts on some black guy showing us a certain lower part of his extremity with a bottle in it or something.
I thought that was his pee-pee.
Charlie was thinking the guy was hung pretty small for a black man.
Anyway, nobody out there saw it. And thank you very much for entertaining us for a few moments, you guys.
We saw it.
When it said Mike, and I thought it might be the Mike we know, you know. So anyway, you know. But usually he doesn't call this show; he calls the Monday show. So I should. Yeah. I figured it, I wasn't trusting it. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, he uses his last name on his
Yeah.
Idea. Yeah, he does.
Just like I'm not trusting, where is it here? Oh, Charlie, you've changed it to Charlie Wallace.
Yeah, I finally Googled the right thing. I said, how do you change it in the Zoom session?
Oh, well, this is how you do it in the Zoom session, but it might go back to Fat Tony next or whatever that name was.
Yeah, but I know how to do it now, so I'll just change it.
Yeah, I was trying to get you to change it on the computer, not on.
Well, I did change it, and it said it changed it, but it still comes up big guy.
I wouldn't want it. It's a Microsoft product. It's expected to work.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously the laptop's working because you're using it.
You know what? You know what they did with Microsoft? They did away with Skype, and they forced everybody to go to. I'm trying to remember the name of the program.
Teams. Yeah,
Microsoft Teams. So I went over to Microsoft Teams to look at it, and I couldn't figure out any way just to get audio, video out of people. Yeah. You know, to kind of do what we do here. I mean, what is Apple think? What is Microsoft thinking they're doing? They think everybody's going to really switch over? And what was wrong with just keeping Skype going? Mm-hmm. Skype was fine for people who use Skype. Let them keep using it. You don't have to throw it out the window because you want them all to go over to your Microsoft Teams. It's like people at these companies have a tendency to say, how can we improve our product? And then they improve their product, but it's worse than it was before.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Skype as they went along. They kept trying to improve Skype. And what it was a bunch of people at Microsoft going, well, this is cool the way we made this thing work. Yeah, but does it work for everybody else? Is it easy for somebody to pick up immediately? And, you know,
I'm actually surprised as big as Zoom is that they don't have something that you can block somebody like that with.
Well, occasionally I get a thing from Zoom that says, you know, you shouldn't be publishing your Zoom address. Well, how am I going to get people to call me?
Right. Yeah.
You know? Right. And it should be that I can block people. You know, I can block people by IP address.
You should be able to see them in a little square on your computer only and not on the show. And then say, oh, I know you, and then add it to the party.
Well, it's kind of like with Skype. You would add people. You know, well, you do add people here, too, but I don't have any idea who they are.
Yeah.
So the only way I can do it is by just putting my face up, blocking whatever is going to come on, and then letting them try and not anybody be worse for the wear. Yes, Bree.
I gotta go, Alex. I gotta check out from this place and go get lunch down in the Junker Street.
Bed bugs getting to you?
There's no bed bugs.
Good.
Looks like a nice hotel room. Show us just a little bit of the hotel room before you go. Just turn your camera around so we can just see the room.
I can't really show you much. Yeah.
Hmm? We saw the drapes.
There are the drapes. Oh, nice yellow wall. Isn't that nice? Yeah, well, that's kind of very nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
Nice, right, comfortable looking bed.
Yeah.
Okay. And how much is that room a night?
$39.
This one, $25.
What?
Oh, boy.
And that's, it's pretty expensive.
And you have a TV. You have a TV set. Yeah, it doesn't look bad. Yeah. You know, looks
it doesn't
fine.
Look bad, right?
Looks clean.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to you later.
Bye, Bree.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye, Bree.
Bye, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
There he goes. You know, what I used to do when I travel is I would always book into the, if I was going overnight, I was going someplace and I was only going to stay there overnight, I'd find the cheapest place I could find.
Because YMCA.
What am I going to see of that? It could be the worst hotel room in history. My eyes are going to be closed while I'm asleep.
Right.
And when I wake up immediately, I'm going to leave. But if I'm going to be there for a couple of days, then I'm renting a nice place.
I gotta check you this. When you used to travel a lot, did you ever stay in a hotel airport? I always wondered that. My brother did once.
A what?
You know, when you had like a hotel airport.
At hotel what?
The airport's in the hotel. When we landed in Dallas the one time, I saw the air, they had like a hotel inside the airport, I think.
I've never seen that.
Did they ever stay in the airport for the night?
And then I've never seen that. No.
Some airports have hotels in them.
Not the ones I go to.
Oh, no? Okay.
I've seen them right next to them.
I've seen them next to them or across the street or in the neighborhood or whatever, you know. And if you're immediately going to catch a plane the next day, that's perfect.
Yeah,
but if you want to stay in the town, I don't want to stay by the airport in Paris, for instance.
Doesn't the airport near Queens have a big hotel?
Just it a probably little does, hop, Jay.
Just a little hop over the water from you?
I know LaGuardia and them do. It's right across.
Yeah, but right across there's a little river.
It's a little rough neighborhood, though, over there, too, though.
Well, it's a big hotel because it's a prison.
Most people that are coming into New York to stay, though, and it's not just a hop over. You know, you're not coming here and then getting on another plane. They're going to stay in Manhattan. You know, they're going to enjoy the wonderfulness that is Manhattan.
It is nice. I've been there.
Really? When? How long ago?
1999.
What? Before 2011.
Yeah. It's changed a little.
A little bit.
A couple towers are not there anymore.
Do you ever come here? Do you ever come here, Josh? New York? Do you ever come to New York?
No, not yet.
Really? You've never come to New York?
Really?
No. New York State, but I have not visited the city.
Yeah, wow.
I've been decently around the state of New York, upstate and...
I'm not sure that I would come back, though, because Tony'd be bugging me to have a cup of coffee.
I take you for lunch.
Listen, he lives
I'm teasing you. I'd be happy to see you, Tony.
You live a subway ride away from me, right, Tony?
Yeah, I got to your apartment. It was just two trains, Alex. I got off at...
so one time
I jumped on the other one.
One time I allowed you in this place.
Yeah. I never forget I said you did. You know what he told me?
Hold on a second. Let him talk.
I remember when you gave me the tour, I told us to check you. You were nice. He says, this is my apartment. And you said this, because I have a good memory. He says, and this is the guest room. And I said, oh, and this is where I can stay. And you looked at me and laughed like, he says, he knows you were joking. You have a beautiful apartment. I used to play at a hobby store like two blocks by NYU by you. Yeah. I don't go there anymore.
Though. No, it's a great apartment.
It's nice. Yeah. I knew where you lived pretty much.
Yeah.
It's a lot safer than it used to be, Harlem, right?
Oh,
it's much safer.
I don't know at night, but I never go out at night. Nah. So I don't know what it's like at night, but I don't hear any screaming going on out there.
Sirens and stuff like that.
Oh, we hear sirens, yeah. But in New York City, I think anywhere that you would live, you hear sirens. Yeah.
Trees fall from the storm.
And you can't tell which is which, whether it's an ambulance or it's a police car.
I get a lot of fire engines because I got a house down the block.
Yeah, or sometimes I used to live very close to a firehouse, you know, I would hear that all the time. But, you know, it's a fairly, I think it's a safe neighborhood. I've never seen it had any reason.
I wasn't scared.
I won't go out at night, let me put it that way. Okay, I'll go downstairs to grab a Lyft or a Uber or whatever and go somewhere, you know. But I don't want to have to walk down the street.
For the outrageous price that you pay, you probably have a doorman downstairs.
No. No. No, we don't, actually. We have a guy who they have come on at 4 o'clock and stay till midnight, but he's not guarding anything. They call him a presence.
Oh.
Yeah, but he doesn't
need it.
If I had to have him save my life, I think I'd be in big trouble.
Oh, really?
He and the super's wife have done a very nice job of fixing up our
courtyard.
Even though the parts of it still aren't fixed because the landlords won't put a penny into it. But they've planted some flowers and things like that, and it's nice. It's sweet. They're doing a nice job of it. Yeah. But, you know, Harlem is what Harlem is, although it's become much more gentrified, you know. And the people who could afford to live here can't afford to live here anymore. And they get forced out by landlords who then decide, well, we're going to renovate the whole building. We're moving everybody out. And they move everybody out. And then, of course, if they want to move back in, they have to pay the new rents, which is based on them fixing up the building.
Oh, that sucks.
So the question is, if you gentrify too much, then where are the poor people going to live? You know?
It's not here.
And this was a, you know, this was a colorful neighborhood. Let me put it that way. I don't mean that as a pun. But it was a colorful neighborhood. It had its flavor. A lot of neighborhoods had flavor around New York. And they've lost that flavor. You know, so you go down to the village now. It's not the village like it used to be, you know. It's the village like all the people moved in from out of town and could afford the rents want to change it into, you know.
Wasn't the village primarily a gay neighborhood?
No.
Oh.
No. No. It was actually an art neighborhood kind of.
Oh, okay.
You had musicians and artists, and some of them were gay, you know.
And the beat generation
came from New York.
The beat generation originated from there. I was reading on that whole thing.
What originated
the
there?
The beat generation, like in the '50s.
Oh yeah, the beat generation that was followed by the,
beatniks.
Well, the beat generation were the beatniks. Yeah. But that was more a thing of San Francisco. If you go to San Francisco,
I was trying to find
things like the City Lights bookshop and so on.
Yeah,
and
I
so
saw
forth.
That. That was nice. I actually subscribed to that.
Yeah, City Lights is closed.
Yeah, I know. A lot of the, everything. Anything with flavor in most cities is kind of gone.
Tower Records gone.
You live in what city exactly, Josh?
Yeah, I live in a little tiny village. Called Asheville, Ohio.
Oh, okay. Has it lost its flavor, or did it never have any?
Well, it's very small. It's just a very rural, village community in the middle of a rural county. It's mostly all farmland. It's surrounded by all farmland.
Yeah.
The village itself is very old. It's changing, because of the growth of Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's pretty much the same as it was when I was younger, I think.
How long have you lived there?
Well, I've lived in this house for 19 years. I've lived in this zip code for probably 35. Wow. And then for the 10 years before that, we lived in the next town over just a few miles away.
How about you, Kevin? How long have you lived where you are?
Here, 26 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I started in the Bay Area up by the airport.
Which one?
San Francisco.
I came back here to New York in 2004. So I've been here, 21 years now in New York?
I've been in the same zip code for 66 years.
Really? Well, they must be bored of you by now,
I'm sure.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, hey, it's been a nice night, everybody. Nice to have you all here. A happy little Fizzy's party we had. I want to thank Jeff for having joined us. Thank you, Jeff. What is your T-shirt say? All I need is...
jeans.
What say? Jeans. Yeah, and... a T-shirt. I see. Okay. All right. Okay.
So impressive, eh?
Yeah. Are you wearing a T-shirt tonight, Charlie, that we should know about?
It says, just because I'm awake, that doesn't mean I'm ready to do stuff.
Or we showing up T-shirts?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us tonight. Thank you to Charlie for being here. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate it. I always do. And what does your T-shirt say, Alan?
I got to get up so you can see it.
I'm already visualizing you with duct tape over your mouth. That's good. That's a good one. And thank you. Thanks to our old pal, Tony. Thank you all for having joined us tonight. I really appreciate it. And You know, we'll do this again next week. Thank you, everybody. Give a big wave goodbye, and I'll give a big wave goodbye at you, okay? There they go, folks. That's our citizen panel for tonight. The final citizen panel of the week will take place just right after we're through here with Amy Manuel. She'll be taking your calls on Zoom. If you want to know how to get to her, go to the third column on gabnet.net, bottom of the page. It says Alex Bennett. It says Amy Manuel. Click on Amy Manuel, and your Zoom will automatically go there. I'll see you again on Monday at 4 o'clock on Facebook with the pop-up show. And then we'll be back again next week right here. Same time, same station in life. And on Wednesday. And so in the meantime, as always, if you see her, please tell her I love her, okay? Bye-bye, everybody.